So we'll start with Senate Bill 41. Mr. Myers, nice to see you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here today to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 41. I'm representing the South Dakota Investment Council. My name is Steve Myers. Senate Bill 41 is a bill that deals with a good law that was passed last year, 1363. But the truth is that that law had some kind of little imperfections, not due to the way it was written here, but because of federal law that basically mandated how all state laws that regarded the Higher Education Savings Plan would be carried out. And that federal law was changed last summer, and then there were further changes through IRS federal tax law that really allows for South Dakota's law to be a much better law. And that's what Senate Bill 41 is all about, taking advantage of the favorable changes that have taken place in federal law. That was the Tax Act of 2001, and then, as I say, impacted in September of 2001 and December of 2001. And Mr. Chairman, I have a handout if it would be useful to the committee.
That'd be fine. One of the pages, please help distribute the handout.
Well, that's been handed out. I can just quickly tell you that this bill before you, though it has 10 provisions, really speaks to a few key items that are changed by primarily the federal statute changes. And those items make South Dakota's law more favorable for both its own citizen participants and all participants across the country. And it makes it more favorable because it allows for a speedy withdrawal if the participant changes their mind. That wasn't available under the old statute. It allows for the participant to be able to direct their monies once they're invested, as opposed to the prior law, and similar sorts of favorable changes. So now that you all have a copy, various sections, how to make the bill better bill. First section is SDCL 1363-11. Basically allows account owners to withdraw their money after they have invested that money in a higher education savings program without going through an onerous waiting period, which was required by the federal statutes before. And many of you on the committee probably invest in mutual funds or other instruments, and imagine what you would feel if once you invested in your mutual fund told you that you had to wait 30 or 60 days to get your money if you wanted to get your money out. You wouldn't be very happy about that. But that, in fact, is how the law read at the federal level before this new Tax Relief Act of 2001. And so we'd be nuts if we didn't have changes that would allow us to do the same thing. And that's what 1363-11 does. It allows you to get your money out of the program without having to wait the way you would have had to wait if this federal law wasn't changed. The second section is similarly favorable. This is amazing, but once again, pretend that that you're that mutual fund investor and you make an investment. And under the old law that was in effect at the national level last year, you would never be able to change your mind on that investment. You just kind of stick it in and it's there forever, and that would make a lot of people feel very uncomfortable about making an investment. Well, the Tax Relief Act changed that, and the IRS rulings changed that in either September, December on that one, perhaps, September on that one. It now allows for annual direction of your investment. So you're not stuck having made one permanent decision for the rest of the college planning period for which the investment was made. And that certainly is favorable. The other aspect of this is it allows South Dakota citizens only to take advantage of a very attractive part of a contract that was negotiated by my bosses, the South Dakota Investment Council, with the successful vendor who will be the program manager of South Dakota's Higher Education Savings Program. And that organization is PIMCO. And what we did in that contract, and I think it's a little different than you'd find across the country, but because we were one of the last franchises left, South Dakota was one of the last franchises left, we were able to negotiate a special deal if you happen to be a South Dakota citizen. And what that special deal was is that you can buy directly from the distributor, the program manager, albeit on a plain vanilla type of investment product at an extremely low cost. And that extremely low cost will equal or be lower cost than any other investment offered by a higher education savings program in the entire United States of America. So very favorable terms. Imagine no annual fee, no administrative fee, and a total all-in cost to the participant of a maximum of 65 basis points, so 65 one-hundredths of 1%. And you as mutual fund investors know that the average fund is about 1.35%. And of course, there are lower cost funds out there than that, with Vanguard being the single lowest cost fund out there. And their index funds would run 20 basis points, and it would run up to maybe 50 to 75 basis points on active funds. So this will allow South Dakotans to have the lowest highest the lowest higher education savings plan in the United States. That's what this section does. And finally, it suggests that the council do what it does with all other monies for which you guys have made the investment council responsible, and that is that we act prudently in managing those monies. And so those are the things that this second section does. The third section, which is 1363.21, changes once again because of the practice in this instance of how federal law is being interpreted. It changes the maximum amount that can be invested in the higher education savings program. And the way that the old interpretation was is a safe harbor definition, which was undergraduate school. You can invest up to the maximum that it would cost to send your child or grandchild to the highest expensed higher education institution in the United States for undergraduate school, and that was for some reason interpreted to be about 5 years. Well, recently private letter rulings, which is what you have to get in order for a higher education savings program to be legitimate. You file a private letter ruling with, I think, the IRS, have allowed states to also provide for graduate school. So what we're changing is we're changing it from just the safe harbor, which was interpreted as undergraduate school, to whatever's allowed by federal tax practice, which is the includes the graduate school. So that's what that section does. And then there's a section that, instead of it being 1363, it's 4526. And under 4526, what that does is that exempts every single portfolio that the investment council is responsible for from a legal list, except for the state's checking account. And the state's checking account, since it has real severe liquidity requirements and what have you, have to be invested in this extraordinarily conservative legal list. Just as all of the trusts that the legislature has had the investment council be responsible for is invested in a diversified portfolio oftentimes oriented towards long-term returns. So too is the common practice to have higher education savings programs invested that way. And so that's what this does, is it exempts the higher education savings program, just like all of the other funds of South Dakota, from the legal list. Now, there are two rules that are impacted, and the first is that the way the rules were passed, it had to do with how the federal government revenue code was back in August. And yet these changes that I've just talked about came about in September and December because of the Tax Relief Act of June. And so this updates to January 16th. And then the next rule has to do with this withdrawal issue that I already talked about, and it gets rid of that. 1363.1 deletes definitions that have to do with withdrawals because they're no longer germane under the change in the federal tax issues. And 1363.15 repeals the withdrawal penalty imposition. So not only did you have rules that a law that dealt with having withdrawals, but there were also penalties that you would have to pay that no longer is required by federal law. And then that gets down to, I think I've covered everything except for the emergency clause. We're asking for an emergency clause because this is a program that will impact citizens immediately upon being brought up to speed, and it will impact institutions of South Dakota immediately. It will do that in two ways. Importantly, through a scholarship program that we have negotiated, once again because of us being kind of like one of the last franchises on the block. We have negotiated with PIMCO for PIMCO to pay 100% out of their own pockets for scholarships for South Dakota students only to go to South Dakota schools only, higher education schools in South Dakota only. And we've got them on the hook, guaranteed, even if the program's a big flop, which we really don't think it will be, but the proof will be in the pudding 3 or 5 years from now. Even if the program's a total flop, they're on the hooks for pretty good-sized dollars, 70 scholarships the first year at $2,000 a crack, and they're for 4 years for 70 South Dakota citizens to go to South Dakota schools. This will be graduating seniors to go to South Dakota schools. And then 70 more the following year, and 70 more the year after that. And then if the program comes a cropper, that ends their liability after they pay for the fourth year of that third set of 70 students. There are some mechanisms whereby the numbers can be increased in those first 3 years, but I won't bore you with those details. The program can become a very big deal on the scholarship side. If PIMCO's thoughts on the size of the success of this program are accurate, this can provide scholarships for several hundreds. A 500 wouldn't be a stretch, but for testimony purposes, I'll just say several hundreds of students per year to go to South Dakota schools. So it's really a neat deal, and the council has developed that scholarship program, it'll be launched as soon as the governor signs the bill. I think he's a big supporter of it, so I don't think there'll be any doubts of that. And I'll just stop there and see if there are any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mark. Any other proponents at this time? Seeing none. Any opponents? Seeing none. Any questions of Mr. Myers? Representative Koister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve, do all four sections of this bill, or three sections, deal strictly with the IRS code?
The safe harbor deals with common practices and not the strict IRS code. And common practices have basically expanded the number of years that are acceptable at the federal level for the definition of the maximum amount of money that can be invested. Throwing in the prudent issue was just kind of a common sense idea that's not mandated by federal statute, but it, I'm sure, made sense to all of us.
A follow-up on that. On the second page, Section 2, we deal 11 through 15, the council is as trustee may offer participants choice of several investments and several be risky. This isn't coming through the back door with venture capital investments or anything like that.
Not a chance. You're right. You're correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other questions, Mr. Myers? Representative Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How many people, do we have the numbers as to, the number of people that are taking advantage of this already that are getting involved?
In South Dakota, for South Dakota's program, of course, as you're aware, there are none. I'm getting calls all the time from people who are invested in other states' programs. You see, South Dakota citizens can invest in any state program across the country. And though I do not have a head count on how many people have invested, several billions of dollars have been raised just recently in the past year of a pretty non-stellar market for these purposes.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Myers. We'll close to committee action on Senate Bill 41. Representative Koistra.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move to do pass Senate Bill 41.
Is there a second? Second by McCoy, moved by Koistra. Discussion on the motion, do pass. Seeing none. All those in favor of the do pass motion on Senate Bill 41 will say aye, opposed nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Aye.
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 Darnus.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Koistra.
Aye.
McCauley.
Aye.
McCoy.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Van Norman. Wick.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Carius.
Aye. Do pass motion carries. No. Representative Heineman, would you take this on the floor and explain it to the members? Thank you.